As we sit in the stillness of our hearts, I'll start with a little about where I'm from and where I've been, so maybe we can go somewhere in our hearts together. My soul had its start in my upbringing. As a child of a tenant farmer, I was poor, but I didn't know it since there was another kid in our little town of 1,200 who was more poor than me. I got much from my childhood. Honesty and integrity, the work ethic and the concept of earning, joy and harmony of voices in song, love of poetry and wordsmithery, and some immunity to anger and crisis since my dad was explosive and my mother was non-expressive. Positivism. This may be a genetic gift. Some of my friends have called me Pollyanna, which is going a bit far. But I always have been an internal optimist, no matter the external situation. Maybe I'm an eternal optimist. Perhaps some of the optimism came from all the years of gospel music. I used to hear music directors say, "Now listen for the harmony." And luckily, I did just that. When I find myself a bit off base, I listen to the harmonies of life. I married and had two sons who brought me happiness and taught me well. I have one here today. Now I'm blessed with five grandkids. I went through a political period. When my sons were tiny, I went back to finish my degree. While I was there, a bill was introduced which banned guppies in kindergarten, turning off classroom lights at transition times, and a class called personal development in high school, as well as the statues of David in any art book, because they smacked of sex. My professional training included specializing in education and psychology, working in a training medical center in the Department of Neurology, Psychology, Neurology, and Behavioral Sciences, made me eclectic. I went against 35,000 signatures obtained illegally in post offices around the state with a counter petition and coordinated the Senate hearings in which the guppies won. When I wrote about this, I called it my venture into politics of guppy love. Thanks to my son-in-law for that wording, guppy love. This was about when I helped Northwoods Unitarian Universalist Church in our community north of Houston. It was hard to leave it when I retired to Florida, but I stay connected with the many wonderful people there. After a dozen years of teaching, I started Treetop School because I knew three students I had taught in the past who came to me desperate for help. My sons and I spent several hours a week that summer trying to find an appropriate placement for those kiddos. But we found the world wasn't too interested in people who danced to a different drummer. So I rented a 10x12 room with yard and bathroom privileges and forged a haven for a dozen kids whose needs were not being met. It went over so well that I mortgaged a fine little gingerbread house on a wooded acre full of frogs, owls, and nature, and the school settled in there for a couple of decades. We served anyone who needed a sense of community and a lift in reading, algebra, or self-esteem. I insisted on being affordable. We also served a number of part-time after-schoolers for tutoring with a twist. Many of them were students who've received no services within the system. I sometimes call them the borderline kids. Many folks, maybe some of you, think illiteracy, both intellectual and emotional, exists only in certain groups. But I'm here to tell you that it's in this and every community in mainstream America. Much of that is a lack of bonding with themselves and their world. These students who are not getting help know why I don't dig the borderline jig. Dancing a tune to the borderline time, a little off beat and feeling the heat. Can't pass the failure test, so borderline's mine. No help my woes to meet, but constantly feeling defeat. We were able to create a homey environment to let kids from 4 to 46 blossom, and it was grand. Then came my date with grief. It began with Hurricane Alicia in 83. From there, it blazed downhill as midlife crisis hit my ex-husband, and by the time Christmas rolled around, I got tears in my stocking. That was the year that I started my grief tear book. Financial and emotional ruin kept me company, but both of them were recognized and refused daily. I chose to heal. Now is a time to heal. Let's act on what we feel. Healing is a choice. Seek it with one voice. Hug the ones who grieve. Draw circles that receive. Now is a time to heal. Let's get on with what is real. You know, after you cry, you sometimes laugh. Next was my humor period. My sons were just about grown. I had more time, and a friend and I were starting a series of values books for preteens, and I was writing for a few local publications. Enter Larry, my husband. He encouraged me both in teaching and in writing my psychoeducational articles, as well as the nostalgic humor tidbits that I collected for years, straight out of the mouths of children. I decided long ago to refer to these as my near-life experiences. You've heard of near-death, near-life. I heard lots of almost accurate reports about our world. I was told about the country by Egypt called Cereal. Haven't things changed? They call it Syria when I was in school. One girl told me about a program she heard about music in aging Egypt. Same shelf for the brain as ancient, eh? A little elf rushed in one morning to tell about a bad accident on the Fierce Elevated. He asked me, why was it called Fierce? Maybe because it was an accident location? Kids can think upside down like that, but you adults probably call it the Pierce Elevated, an exit near downtown Houston. Older students have learned of long ago and far away. It was Greek to all of us the day when we studied epic poultry. Or was that epic pottery? I don't really know. I just write poetry myself. The best one was a jewel for all seasons. We ran onto the word Frankenstein in a book. One student knew all about it. That's what the wise men gave baby Jesus. Gold, Frankenstein, and myrrh. Much of what I did at the small private school I ran was built around my passion. I developed methods for particular situations. My first and foremost method is a warm, caring relationship. You gotta love them to teach them. If you don't love them, scoot, because they'll make you go screeching and they won't give a hoot if your lesson plans are carried out. Their little hearts are not so stout, but they need caring after all, before all. You know, respect and measles have a lot in common. They're both catching, and they both can take a lot out of you. So go light on the measles and power down on the respect. I played it like a harp or a banjo, depending on the situation. I used confrontation and gentle goading when needed. We tried to find a child's learning channel and help them learn to tune it in by standing on their strengths to pull up their weaknesses. I spent much time keeping kids, parents, and teachers encouraged. Then I'd add a sprinkle of technology to empower them, especially those heretofore excluded from the mainstream, like kids with coordinative problems who thrive given a word processor or a word prediction program. My motto was and is, we cheer them up when they need us, we cheer them on when they don't. We cheer them up when they need us. We cheer them on when they don't. I'd like to top it all off with joy and the unexpected. Like the time at the end of 89 when the week's social studies activity, was to brainstorm a list to summarize the decade. Pretty soon I turned those ideas from the children into a rap, and they made their own booklets and drummed or danced along to the 80s rap. You'll know in a few minutes what I mean. I call that think joy. Teachers use it now to introduce a study of that decade. It gives them events and names to research. Other times require a hypnotic voice for students, parents, and myself. Back off, busy. Hello, calm. Time is ripe for a healing balm. Then there's doubt. The yeast of thought. Bully for a certain lack of confidence. At times, we need to have a certain bit of doubt that keeps you searching for what it's about. I'm always trying to do more and wondering and struggling, yet I see we're all growing. Maybe the struggle is the fertilizer. It doesn't always smell great, but it does the job. If I've learned anything from my long and lovely life, it can be that we need to be about the business of drawing circles that include. And then we need to guard to see that it doesn't slip into excluding folks who are not yet or may never choose to be in our particular circle. Circles are ingrained into our habits early in life. Third graders, cheerleaders, geeks, vegetarians, gay, straight, on and on. Commonalities are good. And yet those same circles which embrace us can turn against us and hurt our success as a society, as a world. Cherish the circles we have of friends, of commonalities, of opinions, of humanness, etc. But don't hold them too close. Or squeeze them too tight, or they'll stop being open circles. One way to think of it is that closed circles don't let light in and become more hardened with the passage of time. Open even just a little crack in the circle, and the light floods in, and the inner light of the circle is also shared with others and the world. This communication with others constructs, one thread at a time, the high wire spinnerets on which peace and harmony live. How can we possibly think that we are better than Northerners, Southerners, Democrats, Republicans, Baptists, Catholics, Methodists, Hindu, Texans, or that child-rearing methods that we have or our beliefs or customs are somehow superior to fill in the blank, you know the drill. There's a long list of people who have lived out of the conventional tradition of and learning. Edison, Walt Disney, Whoopi, Michelangelo, Jesus, Mark Twain, Paul Ehrlich, and a whole slew of Olympic champs. Think of all of our circles as bumper cars. Only if we leave them open so we can see and we can get light to steer by, can we avoid hitting others and maybe even enjoy the fun and fellowship at times with those in other circles. Also, my idea is that peace and harmony, any there is to be had, dwells in the space between and among the circles. It's fragile, like the spinneret spiders make, yet it's where the action is. Although once made, it's quite strong. But we can only work on its construction when our circles are constantly being extended to include. Extended to include. What if we commit to keeping all our circles cracked open to let the light in, sharing hope with others by including someone who's a bit different from us? What if we practice acceptance? How would that change our shared lives? What if we forgive others, maybe even ourselves? Doing all of these on a regular basis might help us hear the harmonies of life.